you consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Cliff Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clip.
Hi, listeners. Welcome back. Today, we're going to focus on a couple of rooms in the house, the great room, the kitchen, and the screen porch. And we're going to take each one and see how we can make it great. Okay, how do you create a great room? The great room is the central living space of the house. It really consists of 3 areas, a sitting area, the kitchen, and an informal dining area. And together, those are what we call the great room. But I'll focus for this thing on the sitting area. First, what's the best shape for a great room? The best shape is a T. Okay, across the top of the T, you've got the kitchen and the sitting area so that they're touching or next to each other. And then the leg of the T that drops down, think of that as the dining area, the informal dining area. And quite often, that's in essence a bay window. So it sticks out into the outside and completely surrounded by windows. It's just a great way to do that informal dining area. Probably the way not to do a great room is a long rectangle. And this is actually what we see quite a bit because builders want to string the spaces along the back of the house. Kitchen, dining area, sitting area. What that does is it puts the sitting area far away from the kitchen. So it makes it much harder for the person in the kitchen to interact with the person in the sitting area and just simply pulls people apart. Now the sitting area. The actual sitting area should be about 18 feet wide and 14 feet deep. It could be a little bigger than this. It really shouldn't be smaller, and it should be a backwater, meaning that it's not a traffic corridor. It's kind of a quiet place off to the side where people don't go through. Now, you have the kitchen and the sitting area. Between those two, you often have a traffic corridor, primarily to get to the dining area. And that adds another 4 to 6 feet to the width. So the actual ideal size of a family room sitting area is about 18 feet wide by 20 feet long. And it can be 20 feet wide. It could be wider, but that becomes something other than just a sitting area. If it gets much more narrow than that, you can't arrange furniture well. Okay. So the primary thing that you need in the sitting area is a feeling of spaciousness or graciousness. How do you do that? First, you've got big windows on at least 2 walls, and typically they're the side walls, but big windows, so it's an inviting place, 2 walls. If it's only 1 wall, in any room should have windows on 2 walls. and it should have a higher ceiling, somewhere between 10 to 14 feet. The one thing you never do is make it two stories high. That's too much, and you actually see that quite a bit. You walk in these homes, and they've got these two-story great rooms. They're uncomfortable places to sit, and they really don't work well. Another twist on the normal thing of raising the ceiling up in the great room, in the sitting area, is to drop the floor. And it's a, you know, it's a twist on the normal action. And if you put the sitting area down about 18 inches, that's two steps and three risers, it has a dramatic difference. It automatically makes that a special area. And it gives it its own level. It becomes special onto itself. It also has the bonus that it makes the kitchen more commanding. If you think of the kitchen as the command center of the house, then the fact that it's higher than the sitting area and overlooks it gives it more presence. And one neat thing, I've worked with some clients that are short, and having that extra presence from the kitchen is really nice. Okay. The real, when you think of a great room, it's the central space of a house. And it should have an impact. It should be the strongest room in the house. And a lot of them don't. But how do you get impact or punch? You start with a simple shape. It should be a rectangle. Should not have odd angles to it. The mind likes simple shapes. And it should have, I believe, it should have strong symmetry. The factors, the basic principles of design are symmetry, order, rhythm, and balance. And in the main room of the house, the focal point, there should be a strong symmetry. It gives it extra punch. How do you do that? You put in a fireplace. And that fireplace becomes the focal point. Now, if you stick it off on the side wall, it weakens it. So the fireplace should be straight in front of you as you enter the room, and it should be, your eye should be drawn straight to it. In your line of sight. Okay. The other thing about the fireplace, it has to be big. It is the focal point. So you scale it to the room. At least 42 to 48 inches wide. At least 30 inches tall. This is the firebox. And then you take a big fireplace and you frame it in a big element. At least 6 feet wide of stone that runs all the way up to the ceiling. In some way, you just give it all the punch. And make it a big, dominating element. So the question is, why so big? Well, because, in truth, there are two dominating elements in the sitting room, a sitting area. One is the fireplace, the one you want. The other is the TV. And the TV today competes with the fireplace for domination, competes for focal point. And, you know, you walk into a room and it's dominated by the TV. That may be truth, but it's just not as classy. And also, the TV isn't bigger than what it is, whereas a fireplace you can make into a much bigger, stronger element. So you downplay the you upplay the fireplace, you downplay the TV. And just the key there is the fireplace box, the opening, which is, you know, somewhat a big black square, should be a bigger big black square than the TV. And one of the things I really like to do is to take the hearth of the fireplace and raise it up. If it's on the floor, you don't notice it. Raise the hearth up 18 inches. It makes a nice seat in the room. And then, if the fireplace is centered, extend that hearth over to one wall. That gives you a big platform that's part of the fireplace and a perfect place to set the TV. The TV, instead of being a dominant object, just becomes, you know, something stuck on the hearth and keeps it in its place. Let's see. Okay, and when I come back, we'll talk about some more about the sitting room. Thank you.
News, opinion, hear me. Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com. Come back to your senses. Imagine a radio show that will help you recover your common sense. Host Leia Brenda Smith is a health and wellness specialist who will explain techniques designed to help you recover from the stress of your life. It's all about how you respond to your thoughts. A little bit of self-awareness can go a long way in helping you to relax and enjoy your life. Tune in to Come Back to Your Senses Radio, live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Want to hear about what's going on in the world of fashion, beauty, gossip, and politics? Then you'll want to tune in every Wednesday to the Voice America Variety Channel. Face Forward with entrepreneur and beauty consultant Sarah McNamara is honest talk, great guests, and a cool vibe with a lot of fun. Sarah and her guy Friday, Anthony, will turn you on to what's hot and what's not. This is a radio show custom made for you. Tune in to Face Forward, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the East, 11 a.m. in the West on Voice America Variety.
Are you ready to change your relationships, your business, your body, and your life? You'll want to tune in to Transformation Talk Radio with host Tony Litster. It's an inspiring hour of conversation, special guests, and wisdom that has made Tony an expert with personal life experience. His down-to-earth style will give you the keys to unlock your greatest potential. Listen for Transformation Talk Radio, live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel. Listening can truly change your life.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi, welcome back. One of the biggest problems or issues with doing a great room, or one of the biggest problems that I see, is that they really don't accommodate furniture well. Before you start a great room, the first thing you do, or early on, is do a furniture layout. Make sure that it sits up well, and like I say, what I find is so many great rooms where you really can't arrange the furniture. What's the basic layout for a sitting room, for a sitting group? The preferable one is an L shape, where you've got the couch fronting the fireplace, and to one side of it, creating the L, is a love seat or a couple of lazy boys or something like that. One I like is the couch fronting the fireplace, love seat to the one side, and to the other side is a lazy boy. So you're all facing the fireplace and coincidentally facing the TV beside the fireplace. That works great. Works best if, and this is why you have the 18-foot width, is the couch, the main sitting, the dominant sitting piece, symmetrically in front of the fireplace in the dominant position. When the couch is off to the side and the love seat or some lazy boys are there face fronting the fireplace, it's a weaker impression. It doesn't, and as I said, this is the main space in the house. So you want strength. Let's see. One of the key things, and before I said that 18 feet wide, 14 feet deep, well, the 14 feet is from the back of the couch to the front of the fireplace should be no more than 14 feet. I work on a lot of more expensive big homes, and you'll find seating arrangements where you're just so far away from the fireplace, it doesn't matter how big it is, the heat's not going to get to you. And by the same token, you're so far away from the TV, that's not going to work. So you want the back of the couch to be 14 feet from the fireplace, from the TV. When you're sitting on the couch for a good-sized TV, a 50-inch TV, you want to be 12 feet away from it maximum. And you can start from scratch and design a sitting area that makes that work. When I look at sitting rooms, sitting areas of great rooms, the mistakes that I see over and over again, the first one is, it's too tall. The two stories don't work. I see so many of these homes where it's straight back from the foyer, two stories tall, with one wall of glass facing out and hemmed in on the other two sides. This is not a pleasant space. People are comfortable in a space that is twice human height or less, so 12 to 14 feet. Other mistakes that I see is that a great room that is set up so you really can't arrange furniture comfortably in it. And then the other one that I see is that the great room is Grand Central Station. That there are passageways or paths crossing it and crossing between, especially the sitting group and the TV. Doesn't work out well, doesn't feel right, should be a backwater. I think one of the main points on a great room that really works well is I try to explain to people the concept of sitting alone. If you the great room, you have to be able to sit there alone at 11 o'clock at night and be comfortable. And actually, I stretch it one thing further, is that you have to be able to sit there alone and be comfortable in your underwear. And that's what I strive for in, you know, in my great rooms. Okay, Let's move on to the kitchen. The kitchen is the main room of the house. I like to cook, so I think so. But as I've said on other shows, it is the one room in the house that you will be in for about 3 hours a day, active and engaged. So it is the main room of the house. And it's how we, in reality, actually live in the house. I think of the, when I design a house, I think of the kitchen, I think of it as a wheel, and the kitchen as the hub, or the middle of the wheel, and everything else radiates out from that. The living spaces, even something like the bonus room. The truth is, a bonus room gets used in direct proportion to its relationship to the kitchen. The more it relates to the kitchen, the more it gets used. The more it's off on the third floor, the more it doesn't. So, okay, let's take a different tact. What are the three biggest mistakes in kitchen design? I know everyone's looked at kitchens. There's so many different things telling you how to design a kitchen. What are the mistakes? The biggest one is to isolate it. An isolated kitchen isolates the user. And as I said, spend 3 hours a day there. So somebody stuck off by themselves. It discourages spending time in the kitchen, and it discourages spending time together. We talked about the great room. The best kitchen is the one that's right next to the main sitting area, so that the family, is all together in the kitchen sitting area. There's actually a variation on that, which I call term a country kitchen. That's where the kitchen isn't connected to the great room, but instead there's a small sitting area in the kitchen. It's cozy, only has room for about four people. But that also makes a really great kitchen. And it also encourages, if it's just a couple, that's even more encouraging of togetherness than the kitchen great room combination. Okay. When I think of the other thing to not isolate it, and that I really love, is to put the kitchen on the front of a house. You drive through these neighborhoods today, and the houses are completely isolated from each other, all facing the back. You put the kitchen on the front, not only do you get to see what's going on in the house, but you also get to see what's going on in the neighborhood. It's a great command center. It really keeps you connected. Okay, when we come back, I'll give you the other two mistakes in the kitchen. And with those fixed, you can do a great kitchen.
Talk. That's all we do is talk. Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling to find hope in the middle of adversity? How confident are you in dealing with your life challenges? Do you realize you have the ability to overcome your obstacles? You'll want to tune in to Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities, Louise will speak to inspiring guests who have helped others or managed to overcome the roadblocks that stood in the way of their life's success. Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities broadcasts live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Tune in for encouraging and motivational stories every week on Minding Your Business, Living Life Beyond Invisible Barriers. Your host, Dr. David A. Blender, brings together guests from all walks of life who not only have found personal and professional success, but who are committed to help you achieve success. Each week, and with each story, we strive to change the world a little bit at a time. Minding Your Business, Living Life Beyond Invisible Barriers is broadcast live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Clipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipparch@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Over the break, I remember the house I looked at recently. This is about a $3.5 million home in a resort area. And it was just, it was actually a beautiful home, very well designed, but had a great, great room, screen porch area. The kitchen was on the back of the house all by itself. It didn't have the little sitting area, the cozy area. It didn't really even have a good kind of breakfast room connect to it. And, you know, when they go to sell that house, which actually is on the market now, that's going to be a real drawback. I think it's going to be a negative that will hurt them. Especially if you're in a vacation spot, a second home. The whole idea of a second home is to be together. Why would you put the kitchen on the back of the house, and why would you isolate it? So, beautiful house, but. Okay, second big mistake in kitchens are making them too big. I work a lot at the high end of the market, and I see a lot of what I call museum kitchens. They're really big, they're really beautiful, they're really expensive, and they really aren't that pleasant to work in. The ideal kitchen is about 16 feet long by 9 feet wide. Say 9 feet, that's nothing. Well, it doesn't mean there has to be just 9 feet, but the work area of the kitchen should only be 9 feet wide. Well, 8 to 10 feet. We've all heard about the work triangle, the triangle between the stove, the sink, and the refrigerator that you walk constantly as you work in the kitchen. And we all know that needs to be 25 feet or less. if your kitchen is no bigger than 16 by 9, you will get it within that 25 feet. Typical kitchen, what works best, again, is an L shape, where one wall, the long wall of the kitchen, usually has a sink in the middle of it in front of windows. And then the short wall is a closed wall for refrigerator, wall ovens, that sort of thing. Fronting that L then is an island. And the island should be, well, it should be at least 3 feet wide by 5 feet long. Any smaller than that is not worth much. A 2 foot wide island is awful. It's really not worth much. You worry about knocking things off of it. Even better, the island is 3.5 feet wide by 7 to 8 feet long. The alternative to putting the sink on the L facing an outside wall is putting the sink in the island facing the sitting room, the sitting area. That way, the really great thing there is that, and you should always have this, is that the TV in your sitting area of your great room, you can see that same TV from working in the kitchen. It's extremely annoying to have your back to the sitting area and your back to the TV that everyone's watching. Very annoying. Much better to have it all in the line where you can participate and watch the same TV at the same time. Let's see. Just like the sitting area, the kitchen should be a backwater. It should not be a passageway. And ideally, the other side of the island, on one side of the island, there's the cook. The island is there to protect them, and on the other side is the passageway and where the other people are. It's great to have a couple of stools there so they can sit and they can talk to you as you work. Okay, let's see. The mistakes that I see is that they actually make the kitchen, instead of 9 feet wide and then opening into the great room, they make it 14 feet wide, 15 feet wide, and they put another row of cabinets on the other wall. If that's a closed wall, then that's just a row of cabinets that has very little use to it. It's, you know, what I see kitchen designers do constantly is they'll put the refrigerator over there. Now, your work triangle, instead of being under 25 feet, jumps up to where often it's 40 feet and really quite miserable. Let's see,